a story. I'm just going to read the story, but I want to particularly talk about the context of the story. A lot of people know the story, but the context might not be as clear or as everybody might have thought, as I once thought it was too. So I just want to talk about it, read about it, and then we'll talk a little bit about the context. Luke 10 goes like this, in verse 39. Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho." So obviously the opposite way than we're going up. There was a man going down from Jericho, to Jerusalem to Jericho. And I assume it wouldn't be like a road like this. It'd be very similar to a road like maybe down there. Pretty hard going. And as Ezra and Gene were saying, that he fell among robbers, which is pretty easy to be hidden around here and to be attacked, I would imagine, as well. And he was left half dead. I like how the translation leaves it. Half dead. How can you be half dead? I don't know, but he was dying anyway. I think that's the point. "Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed on the other side." Very priestly. "So likewise, a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, he also passed him by." Again, not very Levite-y, but a Samaritan. And as we've been sharing the differences between the Jews and Samaritans and how they were and how they related, we all familiar with. "When he came there," and I want you to notice particularly the detail Jesus puts into this. "When he came where he was, when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured oil and wine upon him. Then he set him on his own animal," maybe that one, "and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii, and denarii, I believe, is a day's wage, so 2 days' wages, and he gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.'" It's interesting, the amount of detail there. I've just 1, 2, 3, 4 verses for the Samaritan, 1 brief verse for the Levite and the priest. Jesus really wants to emphasize the actions of the Good Samaritan. Now, of course, the context is the big thing. Great story. I think everybody, even unbelievers or heathen in the world, pretty much know this story about the Good Samaritan. The context is really interesting. The context is when a lawyer comes up to Jesus, and it says this in verse 20, a lawyer, professional man, stood by, and he wanted to put Jesus to the test. You know, straight away when you want to put the leader, the teacher, to the test, when he's got all the test answers, that's not a good thing. But he put him to the test, and he said, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, I don't want to get into detail about inheritance, but pretty much he's saying, "Lord, how do I earn my way to heaven? How can I have eternal life?" In other words, he knew what he thought he knew he could do to get to heaven, but he wanted to test the teacher out to see him if he knew how to get to heaven. And if he got it wrong, he would nail him. All right? Well, how do you read it? Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law?" You're a lawyer. You know the law. What is it written there? "How have you read it?" And then the lawyer, well, he gives the answer. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Now, this is really interesting what Jesus replied. And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live." Now, hang on. According to the Bible, eternal life, I thought, was by faith alone in Christ alone. And yet here Jesus said that the lawyer, what he said, was correct in what in his reply to Jesus. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And we know love is not just a passive term, it's a very active term. I mean, Jesus just demonstrated that in the way in which the Samaritan loved his enemy. So, excuse me, fly went in my mouth. Yeah. Not the same flavour as Australian flies, I must admit, but just as good, yeah. But getting back to the point, why did Jesus say he was correct? Most of us as theologians would have said, oh, no, you don't know the gospel. I'm sorry, you've just missed the point. But actually, this might surprise a lot of people when I say, don't stone me until I finish the explanation of it. But did you know there is actually two ways to get to heaven? And it's not just by faith. Damn, I knew Joe would start it too. I was actually expecting Pete, but Joe, crikey. There are actually two ways to get to heaven. The first one I think we all recognize through Jesus Christ, faith alone in Christ alone. But there is another way to get to heaven. And it's, as Jesus said, easy. Just love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Just do it all the time for the rest of your life. If you do that, and never hate your brother, never hate your enemy, you'll live. So Jesus was, and when he said you were correct, he was really saying what was true. It is possible to get to heaven that way. But of course, can anybody do that? Only Jesus, yes. Yeah. And this is the point, because as we know, the man thought he could justify himself by this. Because notice in verse 21, but desiring to justify himself, he's thinking, uh-oh, how do I know who my neighbor is? I'll try the cop-out card. Oh, no. You know, who's my neighbor, you know? How can I avoid this, in other words? But of course, Jesus nails him in saying, you want to know who God expects you to love to get to heaven? Try your enemy. That's pretty much what he's saying here. Love your enemy as yourself. Love God that way, and as a result, you'll get to heaven. But of course, as we know, and this is what Jesus says, go and do likewise. Just like the Samaritan. You go and do that. You as a Jew, go and do that to the Samaritans, just like the Samaritan man did it to his Jewish enemy. But of course, as we know, Jesus was not giving a gospel message to him. Really, what he was doing is trying to show the bad news message. And that is, you can't justify yourself. You can't do it. That's the whole point of the Good Samaritan message. Praise God, there's a great example for us as Christians to love those around us, to love our enemies, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul. Praise God. But the whole point of the parable is we can't justify ourselves. We could try. It's possible, in Jesus' terms, correct to do it, but we can't. Obviously, it's impossible for us to do it. Therefore, you know what the man should have done next? Lord, I can't do it. Is there another way? And of course, as we know, in the Gospel of John, there is a big, big answer to that. He who believes the Son has life. That's why Jesus said, even to remember in John 6, when the people came up to him and said, Jesus, what must we do the works of God to get life? And you remember what Jesus said? Believe in the one whom God has sent. Believe the one whom God has sent. That's the work of God. In fact, it's the work God does to us. In convincing us, in trying to persuade us, as Jesus is trying to persuade this man not to trust in his own work, but in his work, that's the point of Jesus saying to the group as well, believe in me. Believe it as a gift, not as an inheritance or a reward or as something you can earn, but as a gift from God. And that's the message pretty much of what the Good Samaritan is all about. And as we walk this road, and as we share with maybe people around us, that message of love, let's point them to Jesus Christ and his gift of life to those who believe in him. Thank you, guys.